support comes from, well, whatever this is, we're paying for it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this?
This is MGM, Marketability's podcast.
Wow.
And we're doing it here at 32/7 Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting.
It is. Why do we feel like we're qualified to do a podcast?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Technically, we are.
Yes.
We just have never done it before.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But I know that both of you listen to a lot of podcasts, right?
Yeah,
you
for
do?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to ask you some questions then.
All right.
Yeah. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many podcasts on average do people listen to every week? On average.
I know this question already because you told me earlier.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, I don't know.
How many podcasts?
Like the average person?
Yeah. If you're like really into podcasts, how many of these things will you listen to every week?
Oh, man. I mean, if they have like a normal drive, probably like 10 to 15.
Seven.
That's a solid. That was a solid guess, though.
It was seven.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you just brought up driving in the car because where do people listen most?
In the car.
Nope.
Really?
Really?
Mm-mm. Nope. They listen at home, 80%.
Really?
Yeah. Most of them listen at home.
Literally the exact opposite for me.
It's half. Half listen at home and 22% in the car. So, and listen to this. Do you think that when they tune in to things like this, will they listen to all of it or some of it on average?
I know the answer to this one too.
I have no idea. Because it really depends on the podcast, I feel like.
Well, I was surprised, but they'll listen to 80%. So we better be darn good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And guess what people will do? You're going to find this just wild. Are you ready? 20% will speed it up so they can hear the whole thing. They'll listen to it in fast mode.
Yeah,
so.
I actually do that.
You do that?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I want to dig into this a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you do that? Like,
what do you mean, how do I do it?
Why would you do it?
Do you enjoy it? Like hearing the voices faster? Or
it really depends on who's doing the podcast. If somebody who is generally talks a little bit slower is doing the podcast, then yeah, for sure I'm going to speed it up.
Makes sense, yeah.
And then also, if it's easy information to absorb, then yeah, speed it up. But if it's something that's really complex, I will always keep it at the normal pace.
Oh, we're definitely going to be complex.
Yeah.
I mean, you can already tell that about this show.
Yeah. And
we're really complex people around here.
This looks official. I'm really proud of this. So this means that they're probably going to get a little something out of it. I mean, we hope they're going to learn some things. We're going to develop some strategy. We're going to launch into nothing but success, right?
Yeah, I think really with this podcast, we can bring information to people about, you know, building brands,
mm-hmm.
learning some of the techniques for that,
mm-hmm.
developing it, and then taking it to launching, obviously.
Yeah,
but
no doubt.
For sure.
I mean, I hope you guys are as impressed as I am, because I walked in today and there were these fancy lights. We had like these microphones and the headsets and the monitor and the logo. And we might be closely naming ourselves to a very popular entity already, MGM. We're surely not going to get in trouble for using that, right?
There's no copyrights on that for sure.
There's really only one way to find out.
We're probably about to find out. Okay, I got one more question, guys. This floored me. Countries listening the most to podcasts. Who's number one?
Ooh, I don't know this one.
I have no idea.
I'm going to guess India.
India.
I'm going to guess China.
South Korea.
Ooh.
What?
That is a good guess, yeah.
That's wild.
South Korea, followed by Spain, Sweden, Australia, and then the good old U.S.
Wow, we're not number one. That actually kind of makes sense a little bit.
Yeah. No, I knew for sure we were not number
one.
And, you know, I did announce at the beginning of the broadcast that we are not currently sponsored. Now, we realize at this point, probably a year from now, that people will be lined up wanting to have us put their products, their services, their names on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Are we okay to handle the stress and the pressure that would bring forth?
Is that supposed to be stress and pressure?
Well, I mean, hey, they're counting on us to get their stuff sold, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm happy to report, because you guys did no homework, right?
Not a bunch.
Right.
No, I mean, okay, so in the office a few hours ago, I did, because you were telling me some stuff. But.
So check it out. 70% of podcast ads make, or actually, let me back up. Let me back, because if we're going to give facts on this show, darn it, they better be correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 70% of said podcast ads, okay, like that's more than half. That's almost all of the ads will make the listener aware of a new product or service. Like,
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the products.
Because usually when I'm listening to a podcast, mm-hmm. I am like 100% engaged to what they're talking about. And then in comes an ad.
My
ears are already tuned to what I'm listening to. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it's true. Right. Yeah. The other day I actually had an ad for, it was a Ring doorbell. Mm-hmm. We're not paying them today, but it was Ring. And I was like, whenever I move, I need one of those.
Dude,
100%.
Listen, I got to tell you something. So I do find myself going down the rabbit hole of YouTube on occasion. And the funniest thing I saw this week, I think it's called, I'm not telling you to go there because there are some foul language, but the bleacher talk or whatever, the dude's coming out and he's holding his cups and he's got his backpack and he opens the door and that doorbell ringer thing that also had a video camera. Mm-hmm. Caught him as he snagged his backpack on the door as he's going out. He's fumbling, trying to turn around, drops his cups. And he had choice words to say. And it's like, I think the caption was something like, just reason to like cancel the day, not go anywhere that day.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny. It is funny. So yeah, it's called stealth advertising though. How about that? When you're in the midst of something, you think you're getting some good information and all of a sudden it's like, whammo, they just sold you something or sold you on an idea.
It happens a lot, too.
It does happen a lot.
It does more than you think.
Yeah. And that right there, guys, that was free of charge. I mean, we're paying for it. You're not, just to bring you that information. And I think that's why, you know, we are a marketing ad agency first, Growing Media. And we have partnered with 32.7 Audio.
Yes.
Studio.
You got it right.
In the middle of Growing Media. Well, let's back up.
Yeah.
32.7, the people want to know.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, so 32.7 is just one of my favorite Bible verses. Mm-hmm. It's been one of my favorites ever since I was probably like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. When I really got into music, you know, I was always looking for, you know, Bible verses that would you know, pertain to music per se. And I looked up 32, and someone actually showed me Psalms 32.7 audio, or 32.7, and I looked it up, and it said, you know, you are my shield, you will protect me with songs of deliverance.
That's it.
And man, that was just like huge for me. I got it tattooed on my arm.
Wow.
And everything.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
That is legit right there.
Yeah. And we found him just randomly, to
we
be
did.
Honest.
Well, no, actually, we have
well, it wasn't randomly. For me, it was randomly.
We have to give. Now, you're just excited because you now have like a man crush on Lucas, no doubt.
I mean, I'm not going to deny
Lucas
that.
Lucas even knows you do. I mean, we've talked about it. We
it's called a bromance, actually.
It is personally. A bromance. Well, you know, that's why I'm here, just to learn all these cool cool terms, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we do credit Rob, and he'll be joining us on this show as well. You know, he's a good guy, fun guy.
Yeah, Rob's a good dude.
Yeah, a lot of really cool things going on here. We will just throw you, like, some biblical knowledge on occasion, like we just did. Mm-hmm. And those psalms, I mean, that's pretty cool. People use those in weddings and podcasts.
My gosh, everywhere.
All over the place, all over the place. So, you know, we want to tell you a little bit about Growing Media. You're like, what's that? You know, Growing Media. What is it? We have been accused of appearing to be a dispensary, just our logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the logo does look decently close to, like, you know, Thrive or, you know,
a little bit.
Yeah. You just mentioned a business, and mm-hmm. if they're listening, we would definitely, you know.
Send us a check.
Send us a check, no doubt.
No, but Growing Media, what is Growing Media, Angie?
Well, it's a marketing ad agency. I mean, none of us are salespeople. You know, mm-hmm. we just believe in what we do. We know mm-hmm. we're going to make people money. Funny story, this week, one of our clients called and said, hey, you got to slow down. And I'm like, what? You know, we typically position our clients online, socially, digitally, within podcasts. We know where the people are. And it was a client, and he said, hey, I'm not saying I want to cancel. I'm staying with you forever, but we got to slow down so I can catch up. It's a service provider.
Which is a wild ask. Yeah. But that's like something that a lot of people
don't
get.
Did you just say
get.
Wild?
Ask.
Ask. Okay. Yeah. We want to definitely pronounce that here because this is a family.
I think
it's
I did. You got that, right?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It's a wild ask. Good. Yes. Okay.
But think about that. Like they're slowing down because they've spent good money on marketing and it's paid off for them.
Do not do that.
I don't
hire
think,
more people.
Yeah. Personally, I don't. If you're a business owner, if you're spending money on marketing and it's bringing you that money,
that's right.
I would spend triple the amount of marketing if it was overwhelming me. And then I would hire people
to hire the staff that you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What have you guys always heard about? You know, we hear it all the time. I don't like to use this word, but a budget, you know, I mean, okay, I'm going to get hate mail now. It's like, oh, Angie, you're supposed to budget everything. But when you say, okay, what's your marketing ad budget? That bothers me because it, to me, I've always thought, what do you mean by budget? I'm going to pay you as much as I can afford and help you return the investment. What does it mean to you when you start to figure how much you should spend to advertise your craft and what you do?
I think in the beginning, if you have a budget, if you're short on cash, just measure out the ROI. And I think that should go on through your whole business. If the ROI is there, then you should never have a budget.
The you know return what I'm saying? On investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, I mean, if the need for your product is there, then why would you not spend the money market it so that people can see it and buy it and use it to improve their lives?
That's
right. I worked with a company, and he basically, the owner was like, his friends told him he was stupid for going with a different ad agency, even though their ROI is incredible and they work with all people all over the world. And he was like, I don't care if I have to pay this. It was like $5,000 for the deposit for the first like three months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a little bit pricey, but
we should consider that. Like, will people pay a deposit?
Yeah.
Oh, for your services?
No, totally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm pumped.
Okay. And it was like $5,000 per month or 10% of their sales.
Okay.
Yeah. And
10%? Is this Shark Tank crap? Who would sign up for that?
No, but they're so good as a company that they're worth the money. Okay. And he told his friends that he would spend, you know, triple that price.
Yeah.
If the ROI was there, because why wouldn't you? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So return on investment, that's what we're talking about. But, you know, 3%, I've always heard that you should look at your, you've got to keep the doors open. Okay, that's what some people fail to realize sometimes, to have a brick and mortar, and which a lot of people are doing business now without that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing it from their living room table. I have found that it's a little difficult to host potential clients into my home, you know, or meet at a coffee shop. I would rather pay up front and have a nice office to bring people to, let them know that we're capable of handling what it is that they're asking of us. But I've, you know, once beyond that, all your expenses, keeping the door open, lights on. I mean, that's, you can choose. Maybe do the meeting by candlelight if you can't keep the lights on, you know. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you come in and when we're making you money, that's called a profit. And when you have profits, you should return 3% back to your marketing.
Yeah.
And that can be a lot of dough, depending on what you're in.
So a lot of people don't spend money on marketing. A lot of them don't.
And they just expect them to come?
That's a big problem with a lot of small businesses. Yeah, it really is.
And those are the people that will typically just, we call them, I mean, I love them. I love them all. But we call them ankle biters.
Oh, those are the worst.
I mean, really, those that, you know, just... you've done them a favor. You're giving them high quality. You're treating them like the big boys because you know they have potential to be the big boys and girls, and they'll just work you to death and not appreciate it. You know, and it's true. And I've heard this from some of our colleagues, constituents, other firms, where they say it's those people who have invested the least amount of dollars that want the most.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah, even on the audio side of the building. Let me tell you why is that, you think? Uncertainty, or maybe they just don't know yet. What do you think?
I think it's just, I think it has a lot of, there's a lot of things.
There's a it lot. Could be, it, oh, it's, we're going to be
but
here
it's,
a minute.
But it's your internal being, right? It's like who you are as a person. I think that's like where it begins, right?
That's a good way to look
and
at
so
it.
And so however you were raised, if you were raised like really poor and always scratching and trying to get whatever you can get, then you almost do that because like you're scraping the barrel for that low price that you already got. Does that make sense?
That's a good point. Sense. That's deep right there.
Wow. That is deep. But you know, you and I both have run into this. I mean, we discovered the importance of audio to do what we do in video production and for our TV show, The Spiel, check it out. But, you know, you've run into this where you price your product and what you can do it for in Southern Illinois, because we do have lower overhead where we are in the country.
Oh, yeah.
But you've had people tell you, no, that's too cheap. You couldn't possibly do it for that.
Yeah, and that's happened in the past like few weeks while we've made this whole transition, which is crazy.
You're the audio guy and just hit the mic, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
I love that. That
he was hoping nobody noticed.
Yeah.
Keep going with that, because you always talk about that too.
What, about how I always undervalue myself? Yeah. 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 And the same thing when we got on our Zoom call, I was about to pitch a lower price to Hunter. And I was like, nope. And, you know, but yeah, no, I mean, people now are paying me way more.
Yeah.
And I don't think it has anything to do with them. I think it has to do with me now, because my internal value has been raised.
All right.
And so now, you know, and as the phrase is, as within, so without. So if you are valuing yourself inside, it's going to come outwards out of you. And then people are going to see that and recognize that and feel that. And so then you, they will start paying you more just naturally, because that's naturally who you're being as a person.
Preach.
Yeah.
You know, I did it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were a huge part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. He quoted a price to do the audio for the spiel. And we had always done it just part of the cameras, and we would record the audio. And it was just a lot of work on our crew. And we brought you in and you quoted a price. And before I knew you, I said, oh, man. That's kind of
what was his
kinda,
price?
Well, we're not going to divulge that.
Yeah, no, because it's too low.
It's a very low price.
It was way too low. But then you had a guy who you were showing up earlier than anybody else and bringing in hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of equipment, putting it down, and we're reaping the benefits. And I just, you know, in talking with accounting, I'm like, I can't sleep with myself tonight if I do that. So I came in first with money out of my pocket to pay you, because I saw what you were doing, and I saw your investment, not only in your work and yourself and being such the consummate professional. So, gosh, what you just pointed out is so real. If you exude that, people will recognize it and like, dude, I got to pay you more.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah.
Have you had that happen to you?
Yeah, definitely. When I first started.
He's already high priced.
When I first started, I just jacked the prices all the way up. No, when I first started, I did things for a ridiculously low price.
Oh, we all did.
But you also, you run into the same thing where people, you know, will say your prices are too low, but they'll also say they're too high when they're not high enough. You know what I mean? That's a big problem. That's actually a worse problem than the other way around, because that experience ruins your whole experience.
Best advice I've ever been given, don't let anybody else tell you how much you're worth.
Yeah, I had a bad experience going. It was a client in Chicago, the Chicago area.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this? Yeah.
Yes.
And basically, they wanted me to send a quote on the day that I was already heading up there. It was just weird, and he didn't want me to, he didn't like ask for a price, and then it was all messed up. And I was younger, so I wasn't as experienced, but I sent the quote up there, and he's like, well, if I would have known it was that much, it would have been. Wouldn't have you come out, and it wasn't a lot. It was super cheap. It was super cheap.
Yeah.
And it was for like, it was a lot of videos, and I extremely undervalued myself, and I had to go up all the way up to Chicago and do all that. And it was,
but it made you stronger as a result, right?
Yeah.
If we make mistakes, but if we learn from them, I mean, we're all like too expensive for anybody now, right? I'm teasing.
Yeah. You cannot afford.
Totally kidding. But, you know, it happened to us as well. We're in the Midwest, but we want to do work throughout the nation. And we had this big wig company. I was a product, some health food store and products developed. And we gave them a price of doing everything. And they said, you couldn't possibly do it for that. And I said, well, sir, we've crunched the numbers and we have it here. And then that's when we learned, okay, sometimes if you're dealing with people, you have to understand the region in which they come. And it's like, okay, here are your, you know, Chicago, New York, LA prices.
Yeah, the market changes all everywhere. Even from here to like 2 hours away, the market's different. You know what I mean? In St. Louis, the market's way different.
Nashville, it's all
everything.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what people should realize, is they can come over to your sound studio and, I mean, record music for a lot less than they're going to get in Nashville. And the quality is there. I dare anybody to put us up against, you know, another major group. And because we've had several instances now where we're beating national companies, and I love that. That's like that underdog dealio.
Do you hear this audio? It's so quality.
You like this, don't you? I mean, that's part of it.
I have looked forward to this moment for so long.
Well, let me tell you, as a DJ, this takes me like way back. And of course, you know, when I came in, the guys, you know, I'm like, hey, longtime listener, first time caller, you're on the air. See, Marcus still is not following me.
I can't see, but that's the same thing as a soundstage.
It is a soundstage. And listen to my colleagues out there in the biz, they're like, Ange, call it whatever you want. It's just, it's a great place to come to record audio. We can do music videos. We can do your commercials. We can place them. We can make you a lot of money. We're just cool people. You know, you just kind of want to hang with us, really.
And we have a whole team. The team's cool. That's the coolest part about this whole thing, is having a huge team to get a lot of projects done whenever.
Quick story. So we bring in some high schoolers. We are not in violation of any child labor law, okay? We bring them in this week, and they're doing some things around the studio. You thought it was the best thing to have someone fetch your lunch.
Let me tell you the experience. It was.
Oh, geez.
Listen to this.
Here we go.
It was incredible. Have you ever had, besides that moment, I'm sure you have, I've never had food. They went and got it for me and brought it back. I never left my seat.
It's really nice.
It was incredible.
Somebody else paid
for it.
We
need,
too.
Yeah, that's true too. We need interns.
What do you think about the intern situation?
I think having valuable interns
qualify.
Yeah, like people that actually want to learn.
Yes.
And are humble and, you know, that don't care to go grab food or coffee or whatever, are also having their eyes open at all times, you know.
Yeah.
Well, learning and looking for opportunity.
Absolutely. I remember graduating as a broadcast journalism student, hence the, you know, flashback to my radio days. Then I transitioned into television, but news anchor for 20 years. And I had always heard that CNN would make it available. Like, you could go and intern at CNN in Atlanta, Georgia. And I wanted to do that with every fiber of my being until I found out that all the interns were ever allowed to do. Fetch coffee.
Yep.
Like, give me some coffee. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
The classic.
What?
That's the classic internship.
That is terrible. So I kept searching, and I got a paid internship at a station in Pensacola, Florida. However, my payment, and I worked like sun up till sundown, weekends. Every time they opened the door, I was there. $500 for the whole summer. That was my stipend.
Mm.
But I got a great resume tape, learned a lot.
Did you have two jobs?
I had three jobs.
Three jobs.
Oof.
Wow. Yep. That's incredible.
Paid my way through school, and I made my last student loan payment when I was 35 years old.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So contrast that with today's interns, though. Now, these kids that want to come in, and we've had this experience, they don't want to put the work in, but they want to get paid.
Oh, like, I had one girl right out of school, and she quoted me, I think, $80 an hour for graphic design. And I said, honey, I haven't even seen your work. You know, it's like, what? But, you know, great story about Rob. He came to Growing Media as an intern, called me, and he said he really just wanted experience. I don't think he really expected to be paid. And he came in, self-taught graphic designer. Actually, he wound up teaching some of the classes in college because he's that good. But we designed from the ground up for an international marker manufacturer, a new marker. It wasn't even in existence. He built it and animated it, and we took it in, and we beat agencies from all over with that. So I won this contract. Growing Media won this contract with an intern.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's huge.
That was big. You know, it's so funny because then I just kept on. He said it was the biggest check to date, I think, that he received. And we kept giving him work, and he came into my office one day and said, Angie, can I remind you that I'm an intern? And I'm like, dude, you're a partner as far as I'm concerned. And so he's been with us ever since.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it. Like, you know, like real valuable work.
Oh, no doubt. Know? People talk the talk, but when you walk it, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's kids nowadays that do, you know, work pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like they are fewer and farther in between, personally.
You do?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do think that, yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always people that are going to work hard, but I do think today's age for this generation is a little different. It's a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit removed from the generation.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if I want to bring it up, but like the social dilemma, you know, if you haven't watched the movie,
yes.
I think that plays into, you know, kids that are, you know, actually growing up within this whole social media thing and having the addiction and whatnot. I think that plays a massive role because if you're just stuck there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about anything else.
And
it's a false sense of security, I believe. I mean, they're just, they've been lied to, and there's this sense of security, and there's nothing there. You put that phone down, and the real world begins.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Scary. So I think there's another hard thing, too, about, this is a different topic, but it's kind of the same with interns or with anybody. How do you feel about delegating tasks whenever you're building your business, because that's a really hard thing.
Oh, that was extremely for a lot of people, especially hard. Extremely hard for me. But no, now I have no problem. I'm like, hey, I'm going to.
It's way better.
You guys just handle it. But you know, that's down. It comes down to your team.
Yeah,
yeah.
And only allowing the best in. So listen, we do have to tell people a little bit more about us. And I mean, I think we have to have a reasoning for the podcast, right? Other than just the
This is the intro.
The mindless chatter. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. How many to date? With just what's in this room. How many pieces of creative do you think that we've produced?
Oh my goodness, to date right now?
Yeah, graphics, growing media.
Oh, do you have the actual number?
No, I don't.
Okay, I was going to say, wow. Oh my goodness, I don't even know.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah, for sure.
Pieces of creative.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't realize, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see quite a bit of it if you go online and you check us out. And, you know, the commercials have ranged from... doing things for that marker manufacturer we were talking about, to banks, to hospitals, to financial, you know, advisors. And we've got all sorts of really cool lawyers.
Yeah, manufacturers.
Manufacturers.
I didn't say that right, but yeah.
Audio people, video people.
Yeah, music videos.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Oh, yeah. The music videos are fun.
Those are way more fun.
Yeah.
I like the creative for that. Yeah. And we're going to do some stuff soon, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've got some things running on CMT. We've recorded for some artists. Yeah. And then the show, The Spiel, which is produced by Growing Media, we highlight just phenomenal talent each and every week. They come in and we're like, why are you not on the radio? Why are you not collecting awards?
And yeah, it blows my mind when we get people in and I'm like, how have I never even heard of you?
I know.
Yeah,
you know?
It's nuts.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. The
615 House.
Oh, yeah.
They were incredible.
That is super
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah. Their voices, I went on TikTok and saw them. They have like 600, almost 600,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
For the whole house, you know?
Right.
They all sound incredible.
Yeah. See, that's the one thing. That would be a way that we would monetize you if you were a client. Again, that stealth advertising. You know, those kids are amazing, but they're not really making any money.
No.
So if your business wanted to align with that and know that in any given instance you could have 500, 600,000 views or likes or listens or whatever, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, all their videos are ranging from like 200,000 to like millions of views.
And we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Because I've been talking to their manager. Yeah. He says, you know, bring the proposal and we'll talk about it. So how much money, you know?
That's worth, honestly, if I was a brand trying to get in front of an audience, I would capitalize on TikTok for sure right now.
Yeah.
And the price for that, there's like, I would pay a lot for that.
I think I would negotiate a per post arrangement, because how, you know, just as fast as you rose to the top, you can fall overnight.
It's true. And it all depends on like their delivery of the, if they like sell out on their profile, then it ruins the whole thing.
But you know, that's interesting. So, how many millions, you know, I just gave that away, but profitable ad spends. I think that's what people forget too, is like,
millions.
Yeah, millions. That was the answer.
Wow.
Millions of dollars in ad spends.
Explain this for the audience so they understand digital marketing, you know, social media marketing and buys like that. So we can actually place their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to save that, the big stuff, you know,
for our leadership. Well, yeah, but it's like kind of glaze over it a little bit.
That's exactly what we do. I mean, you're going to make beautiful videos, your team, the videography team, the editors. We're going to make phenomenal video. And then some houses will say, some, you know, marketing houses will say, there you go. There's your creative. Good luck with it. Mm-hmm. But no, we immediately take it and we place it socially on whatever channel will be best for you. We don't, you know, we don't put everybody in the same place. It really depends on what the software says, what you say, where your audience is. We'll place it there socially. And not only will we place for you in a very scientific manner, but we can boost it and do some ads. And I promise you that we're going to do it for a lot less than what is suggested on those platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of clients who were just breaking the bank, and you reach a certain threshold and you're never going to, you know, reach the number of people you want, or it's just tough to get that that in relation. But we do it because we're constantly looking at it. And again, back to that ROI or return on investment, we make sure that it's worth it. And then digitally, it's creepy, and you alluded to it. You know, I mean, our phone can be in the room, and when we pick it up, whatever we were talking about, whether it's a good, a service, whatever, it can be right there on the phone when you're ready to make that decision, do I need that? And we kind of make that happen. We place that, you know?
Yeah. Digital marketing is like the next level, I feel like.
And it's affordable, like, for everybody. Yeah.
Like socially, you can run some ads and you'll probably get ripped off if you're not good at running ads on you know, Facebook.
Spend too much. Spend too much.
Yeah. But digital is like a whole different beast. It's nuts.
Now, you know, people ask me all of the time, how much money do I need to jump into digital? Right now, the provider that we're using, we're probably not going to start for less than $850. And here's why. You got to have a little bit of longevity and some frequency. You know, the other thing is, how many people are cord cutters now? I mean, do you stream? Do you have cable? Where do you get your information? Do you have Dish or Direct?
No, I mean, it's all on social media.
Yeah. I didn't even know that, like, TV providers are still in business. Like, how is that possible? Yeah.
Commercials.
Like, this TV, we can stream from this laptop anything we want to.
Anything you want.
You know what I mean? Or from the Wi-Fi if we had better Wi-Fi.
And there are even apps now for, you know, when I left news in 2009, I haven't watched since. And people are like, oh, ignorance is bliss, dude. You know? It's like, is there some sort of is there a race, an election or something?
I think there's some kind of election coming up.
There's some kind of something going on. But you know, we sell that. It's called OTT or over-the-top television, where we can serve up these commercials, and I'm telling you, for a fraction of what mainstream used to cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. To give you an example, a college used to spend about $12,000 a month, right around enrollment time. And we halved that and still got the same outcome online, digitally speaking.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And they've never gone back. Of course, it was less money in our pocket, too.
And the cool part is you can see all the stats on your spending.
Daily. Live dashboards.
You use TV, you can't see anything. I don't know how people still place on TV.
Well, it's called broadcasting. Yeah. You know, you want a narrow cast. It's like, find my potential market and put my message in front of them, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
Man, I'm worn out, guys. Did we give them enough information? Have we gone long enough? Is this thing on? Is this thing on? Okay, yeah.
Oh, 32 minutes. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, we probably need to wrap it up for today, right? But hey, go tell your friends all about it. The MGM Podcast, Market Abilities by Growing Media. And what are we going to do, Marcus?
We're going to learn, we're going to develop, and we're going to launch.
And are you going to keep us on the air with
good
quality audio?
Yeah.
Why don't you leave us with something insightful, Lucas?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
I am.
Give us something motivational.
Ooh. I am.
What you got? He's like, I'm blanking right now, too. That sucks. Oh, you put me on the spot. I don't have anything.
What's another psalm? What's another verse that you live by? What's your commitment statement? You know, how do you come in every day and do a good job?
The single one that I repeat to myself almost every morning is, you reap what you sow.
Preach it.
And that is one of those things that's truth. You know, like if you think bad thoughts, bad things are going to happen in your life,
right? That's
right.
Mm-hmm. Keep it positive.
And the same thing, right?
All right, cue the music. True. This is our little outro. Mm-hmm. You know, we can hear it now. And join us next week. We're going to shoot for a weekly. We understand in a podcast, we've got to be consistent. Our listeners, our viewers are going to expect something new every week.
At least one time a week.
Okay, that's our commitment.
Yeah.
Everybody in?
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.